Welcome back to the Chicago Tomahawk. I'm Mike, and I got my line mate Matt with me. And today we're going to go over the next eight teams in our little series. This is podcast 204. And we're going to go over the Blue Jackets, the Stars, the Red Wings, the Oilers, the Panthers, the Kings, the Wild, and the Canadiens. But before we get started, go check out the FHN.net. That's the Faceoff Hockey Network. We're part of the Faceoff Hockey Network with their Blackhawks podcast forum. Go check them out for your hockey news and podcast. And check out our Twitter. Give us a follow. So, Matt, let's get started, man. The Blue Jackets. They stopped the hemorrhaging. What is going on over there? They cannot keep any talent, man. They had a really, really strong push at one point when they had Brandon Saad out there. He was playing really, really well when he left from the Blackhawks. And then we got him back, sent Panarin over there, and then they got really good. Made the playoffs, and then boom, it all fell apart and everybody wanted to leave. What's going on with the Blue Jackets, man?
Yeah, they remember when they beat Tampa, and pretty much that was a huge upset.
Huge.
Yeah, man, I'm not sure what the deal is. I think that trade for Laine, I guess, was a big deal for them, and he resigned for 1 year. Let's see if he could, you know, take it for another year.
Right.
They re-signed Zach Werenski, I think 6 years, 9 point something. And that's cool. I mean, he obviously likes it there. He's the man there, and I know, obviously, Jones came here, and they needed to do something to keep the fans interested. What I was really surprised about was Cam Atkinson was traded. This guy I thought was like Mr. Blue Jacket.
Me too.
I didn't understand that one, and especially bringing Jacob Voracek. He's kind of been over the hill for a couple of years now. I mean, I wasn't really a big fan of him, but trading Cam Atkinson, it's a heart and soul guy. I'm not sure. I don't understand that one, and I don't see them making the playoffs. But I think if you give John Davidson came back, give him a chance, and I think they can build another winner. But let's see how long their young talent stays. But no playoffs for me this year.
In all honesty, man, I thought Cam Atkinson was going to be, you know, he was going to go down with the ship and have his number put up in the rafters.
I think he wanted to. It sounded like he wanted to. I mean, right. he liked it. I know he's got a Cameo account, and he was always raving about Columbus. He loved it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's too bad. With Pierre-Luc Dubois, you know, leaving, and I don't think Laine is a player to build your team around, man, to be quite honest with you. In Winnipeg, it didn't work. He's in Columbus, and Torts benched him a couple times. I'm sure he had a pretty hard time with that. But I just don't think that this guy is, don't get me wrong, I think that he's a sniper. I think he's got a hell of a shot. But I don't think that he has the heart to lead a team to wins.
No, I think Zach Werenski has that heart. And I think he should be the next captain of that team now that Foligno's gone. And I honestly thought Atkinson was going to get that C right on him. But
me too.
I think Werenski's clearly the guy. This guy's blocking shots with his face. He gives it his all every game. And Laine, I agree with you. I don't see, you know, him being the answer. I think he's got an ego issue. I think he thinks he's better than he is. No doubt he's good, but he's not a Connor McDavid, Patrick Kane, or Sidney Crosby.
He mentioned when he was getting drafted that he thought that he should have went before Austin Matthews. That's crazy.
I don't see that. Austin Matthews, you know, he hasn't done much in the playoffs, but either is Patrick Laine. And Matthews got a big payday. I know he got the Rocket this year, I think. What did he get, like 40-something, 45 goals or something?
I think it was 41 goals in 56 games.
Laine could score that, but, I mean, who does he have now on his line with him? I mean, I think it's going to be a while, and I don't think he's going to be patient enough to even, you know, make it there. I think he'll end up somewhere else.
I agree 100%. To be honest with you, I think that the Blue Jackets should do what they can and trade him for a prospect package.
It could happen. He's got it's only a 1-year deal. It's kind of like a prove it deal. But I think Yarmo likes him, and he gave him a good player to get him. But 7.5 is not bad, the cap hit. But you know, we'll see what happens with him.
Yeah. Moving on to the Stars, you know, this is another team that is, you know, continually almost there, almost contenders, almost going to be cup contenders, and then something happens. They go on a losing streak. You know, Sagan's hurt. Ben hasn't been scoring like he was when he was younger. You know, what was his name? Their goalie, Leighton.
Khudobin.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, Khudobin, you know, he'll be lights out one night and then he'll get rocked the next. You know, this team hasn't been able to put it together all at once and make a run into the playoffs. What do you see going on with Dallas?
Well, I think they had a little bit of bad luck last year. I think they had a couple COVID cases at the beginning, and they were delayed for, I want to say, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I know they did sign Ryan Suter, which that's a great signing, because you're going to get a good solid defenseman. Their blue line's going to be pretty solid. They also brought in Braden Holtby. Another, like, if you think about it, they got three starting goalies. They got Holtby, Khudobin, and Ben Bishop. I'm not sure the health of these guys, but kind of signing Holtby is kind of like, okay, what's going on here? Somebody, is Ben Bishop still hurt, or is Khudobin not 100%? As for the playoffs, I think the Hawks and Dallas might compete for that last wild card spot.
Okay.
I think the Hawks are going to probably get the edge on them, I'm hoping. Because I like our defense too this year, and I like that we got Fleury. I think he's a huge difference maker, and I think Fleury's better than all three of their goalies.
Yeah, I do too.
So I like our chances.
Yeah, I'd probably go Bishop, Holtby, and then Khudobin in that order.
I think they want Khudobin to be number one, though. That's the weird thing.
And yeah.
That's as like a guy looking from the outside, it's like, I honestly would probably put Holtby out there. I know he struggled last year, but he's won a cup.
Yeah.
He's got experience, and this is what you need. I mean, you got Joe Pavelski hungry for a cup.
Yeah.
And really that guy gives it his all, man. And
he doesn't have Jamie much time Benn, left.
No, Jamie Benn and Sagan, they're still good. They're studs. Sagan's healthy. He's a top 10 point producer in the league. I still think he can do it.
Yeah.
But who knows about him? So I got a maybe for the playoffs, but more leaning towards no.
I'll go with you with the competing with the Hawks for a wild card spot, and I think the Hawks come out on top.
We were hoping.
Just because of the uncertainty with the Dallas Stars.
Yeah, I could see that.
So we'll move on to the Red Wings. Now, the Red Wings are on a really slow burn right now. They're looking to bring the organization back to the top, and Yzerman is taking his time. He's doing it really, really slow. And I think that he made a splash this summer by practically getting Nedeljkovic for nothing from Carolina. Nedeljkovic, I thought he played really, really well last year with Carolina. He's young, and coming to Detroit, he's going to be the number one guy, and he's going to, you know, they can essentially, they're trying to put a young team in front of him that's going to learn. And I think I'd give the Red Wings another 2 years before they become a team that you're going to need to look out for. Where are you at?
Yeah, I actually have the same thing written down on my notes.
Really?
I give them 1 to 2 years of being competitive. I think it's going to be another rough year, but they're building, and Stevie Y's doing it the right way. He's patient. He's making good deals. He's not making stupid deals. I think he actually extended Mark Stahl 2 years, And I think that's a great guy to have on the blue line. Remember we were talking about him, like, man, he's going to be big at the deadline.
I wanted him to the Hawks.
I would have been so happy. And if we re-signed him with who we got now, we'd be even better.
Oh, man.
And, well, they got that Bertuzzi kid. I like him.
Yeah.
They brought Verana back, I think, for 3 years from the, what was that guy's name? The guy they traded to Washington. He was the top Mantha. Yeah, Mantha. They traded Mantha for Verana, and he signed a 3 or 4 year deal. And I like that signing too. It doesn't hurt. They're building. But yeah, I like that. Like you just said, two, maybe 1 to 2 years, they could be competitive, but probably going to be another long year and no playoffs this year for me.
Yeah, me too. I'm right there with you. They'll be on the outside looking in. Moving on to the Oilers. Now, it's essentially the Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl show. And there was an interesting conversation going on Twitter today about, you know, these top pairings. You know, Marner and Matthews are, I think they have a $21 million cap hit, I believe. We've got, who else was it? It was, they were comparing to Edmonton Oilers.
Oh, and Draisaitl, McDavid, like what, 18 or something?
Yeah. Oh, and in Colorado, they were talking about McKinnon's team friendly deal at $6.5 million, and mentioning that his team friendly deal in the future is going to be $10 million because he's worth so much more than the 6.5. But with the Oilers, they were mentioning specifically how McDavid could have asked for $15 million and gotten it. Here's the problem. And here's the problem with all of these teams is that you have one guy that is making an absolute ton of money, or you have a couple guys, or you have three guys, or you have three or four superstars, stars on your team.
Yeah. Toronto.
And they're making all of this money. And then you can't fill out the rest of your roster because you have so much money going to these guys, and how you have teams like the Islanders and you have teams like the Canadiens, who essentially had 1 to 2 guys who you can consider as stars. And then the rest of the team is made out of very, very good hockey players and role players, and how these guys are beating these other superstar teams. Now, with why I'm mentioning this with the Oilers is because it's a two-man show there. I don't see this team going further than maybe making the playoffs, you know?
Yep.
I just don't see it. They re-signed Mike Smith, which I thought was crazy because
40.
I thought that they were definitely looking to upgrade at the goalie position, and they didn't. And I just don't see it, man. Where are you at with the Oilers?
Well, it's funny you said that too. I have that written down. I got the playoffs, yes, just because McDavid and Draisaitl. And they got some, you know, they re-signed Nuge and they brought in Zach Hyman from Toronto. But it doesn't matter. You'll make the playoffs, but you're going to get throttled in round one. You have a 40-year-old goalie, Mike Smith. Yeah, he's going to get you a lot of wins in the season, but in the playoffs, he's going to get lit up, man.
Yeah.
So if they want to be a cup contending team for me, I think they need to make a splash at the deadline and trade for a number one goalie or find somebody that can play in the net, because they're going to be a high offensive team. They're going to score a ton of goals. They brought Duncan Keith in. I don't think that's going to help them prevent goals, really.
No,
but I don't think so either. I think if anything, he's there for the experience, and it's like, wow, Duncan Keith is in my locker room right now. This guy's a warrior.
They might put him on a line with Darnell Nurse.
Yeah, he signed some Seth Jones money, didn't he?
Yeah, he got 9.25, I believe. Well, I want to say it was 9.25.
He's making a lot for a guy who just has to get the puck forward to McDavid or Draisaitl, and he's going to get points.
Yeah, I think that they definitely help his plus
minus. I'm not
minus.
Taking his talent. He's a very talented player. He's good, but I mean, you watch Duncan Keith, his numbers are going to go up too.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean I mean, it means you got a really good team in front of you, like the offense. But in the playoffs, it's a different game. And Mike Smith got killed in the playoffs, I thought. And I know he had a great season, and I know Kenny Holland really likes him. They like him, but I think he'd be a good backup up there. Keep him for a backup position and try to get a goalie. I'm even Holtby. You know, he got bought out by the Canucks. It's like, hey, let's give this guy a shot. You know, he's going to be getting paid by the Canucks because he got bought out. We'll give him a lower deal like Dallas did. That's what they got three starting goalies, and the Oilers don't even have one.
Right.
So, I mean, they're going to make the playoffs just because the Pacific Division blows. It's probably going to be, they might even finish first. They're going to compete with Vegas for the first spot. And then the third team, who do you got? The Kings, maybe?
Yeah, I think the Kings might sneak in there.
What does that tell you? The rest of the division's there. The Sharks are going to be bad, and we'll save that for the next podcast. But these guys, it's almost a guaranteed spot for them because they got McDavid on their team.
Right, and a weak division.
And if he gets hurt, can you see the Oilers still competing?
No.
I think Draisaitl could carry him, maybe.
A little bit.
But they need both of them.
They need them both, yeah.
Yeah.
If they were in the Eastern Conference with the Central, they'd get annihilated.
Yeah, they wouldn't. I don't even think if the Oilers were out east, they would barely be making the playoffs. Barely. Maybe a wild card spot. But since that division's so weak, they're going to be one or two.
Right. Yeah, so I've got them making it.
Yeah, they'll make it for sure.
All right, moving on to the Florida Panthers. And you know, one of the questions that I have about this team is it was a carousel for goalies in the in the playoffs, you know, and
that's weird from Coach Q. It really is.
It was really weird. Yeah. And it seemed to have been the trend, to be honest with you, going around the league, you know, with the whole goalie situation.
Yeah, it was.
So with Bobrovsky, you know, I'm sure he's got his starting role back, and Drager's gone.
Spencer Knight, baby.
Spencer Knight. He didn't play bad, man.
He won him the game.
He did.
Yeah, he won.
He won them a tough game. Very tough. His first time out there. And I thought that he played really, really well. He's definitely going to be a bright spot for the team, I believe. I think Barkov will, you know, have another good year. I see this team making the playoffs. I don't see them being cup favorites, though. Where are you at?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to win the cup. They're definitely going to make the playoffs. I like the moves that they made. They brought in Reinhardt from Buffalo. He's a 20-goal guy. He was pretty good bright spot for Buffalo last year, I thought. He was, you know, he's putting up good numbers. Doesn't seem like he complains about wanting to get traded. He just, you know, he did his job, and, I mean, he got traded to a playoff team now, and he actually re-signed a couple of years with these guys. And they're kind of built like the Islanders, I think. Like, they're like the Florida Islanders.
Right.
They have like, well, Barkov's a star. He is. He's doesn't get a lot of spotlight. But they got a lot of good role players like Verhaeghe. And actually, they brought in Joe Thornton. And I think...
Jumbo Joe. I just mentioned him.
Yeah. I don't know podcast. If he's going to be a difference maker. But, you know, that experience in the locker room might help with some guys. But I think Spencer Knight's going to take over, dude. Christmas, he's going to be the man. And then Bobrovsky, I think they're going to try to move. Hey, maybe the Oilers will call. Maybe.
$10 million?
Well, maybe if they have to eat half the salary or a little less, I don't know. But the Oilers want to win. They're going to need a goalie like Bob or somebody who isn't 40 years old like Mike Smith.
Yeah.
I'm not knocking a guy for his age, but it's just a faster game now, and these kids are unbelievable.
Yeah, man. I thought that they were a really, really tough team going into the playoffs, and to be honest with you, they didn't really show much against Tampa Bay.
Well, a lot of people think that they pushed Tampa the hardest. I didn't see that. I didn't either. I know you think the Hurricanes did, but I think
the Islanders did.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe that was Jake Hahn. I think I was listening to him the other day, and he was saying that he thought the Canes pushed them the most, but I thought the Islanders were, I mean, game seven right there. I mean, either way, it was back and forth, win, loss, and a lot of people think the Panthers did, though. I thought it was a good series. It was one of the most entertaining series of the playoffs. It was old-time hockey, bad blood.
Yeah, and, for a 4-2 series, it was pretty entertaining.
It was. I think if Q would have stuck with a goalie, I think that they probably could have taken him to maybe a game seven. But sometimes Q does that. He'll change the lines after like one bad shift, and it's like, oh man, who's Kane out there with now? Ben Eager? What the hell? Why? You know, it's like,
yeah.
That's the only thing I did not like about Coach Q. He never had consistent lines.
He was very impatient with young players.
Yes, and I think you have to let players get chemistry together. I mean, look at Jamie Benn and Sagan were playing together all year, a couple of years ago. Those guys were 1-2 in points, I think, or three, whatever it was.
They were.
I mean, you got to let guys get chemistry. Like, look at even Colleton, I give him credit. He kept Kane and DeBrincat together, and they lit it up together.
They did.
So Q's got to do that. He's got to let these guys get some chemistry and just open the door for the guys. They're in the NHL now. Let them play.
Right. Yeah, I agree. Moving on to the Kings, they've got Drew Doughty, and I think Drew Doughty is getting better with age in a way. He seems to be a more solid defensive defenseman now than he was, I would say, earlier in his career. I think that he's awesome. I think that Anze Kopitar is, just like he's just on cruise control, man.
Underrated.
Yeah, I think he's a very underrated player, really good player. And I think that I think it was kind of a mistake to have shipped Carter off earlier in the at the trade deadline. Was that the trade deadline when they traded him?
I think they traded him a little bit before.
Yeah, I didn't necessarily agree with that because
they were trying to sell.
When he's been there for so long that I think it really trumps over the time he spent with Philadelphia. And definitely the time he spent with Columbus because he hated it there. But I thought that he would have stayed a King for life. I think the Kings can sneak into the playoffs. I think that they're going to be a sneaky good team heading in. And I'm looking for better things for them this year. Where are you at?
Yeah, I like their goaltending duo, Quick, and the I think his name was Kelvin. I'm sorry. I'm not on the game with the Kings, but I know Jake Hahn loves the Kings sneaking in this year too, and he's a hockey encyclopedia. Usually if you listen to him, he's pretty dead on. I think the Philip Deneau signing was actually very beneficial for them, and Kopitar is a good two-way Selkie guy.
Yeah.
I think Philip Deneau can learn a lot from him. He might be able to pick up some more offense. Dude, two centers like that can shut down a game. Yeah. That's huge, man.
Yeah,
especially if they make the playoffs. Like, we saw what Philip Deneau can do. He made Vegas his bitch. And I mean, he was a huge reason the Canadiens made it there. And
he was.
All the analytics people, he didn't have, I think he had one goal, but it didn't matter. That's why the analytic crap, it doesn't matter for some players, and he's a perfect example.
There's intangibles that analytics just include.
No, but I think that the Kings, they're going to sneak in and possibly take that third spot because there's going to be no wild card up for debate with the Pacific because the Central's so good.
Right.
So they got to make it 1, 2, or 3. And tell you right now, Vegas and Edmonton. I guess we could call it the Western Toronto Edmonton because they're not doing much in the playoffs. So we'll see. But hopefully the Kings can sneak in because, they're like the Hawks. They got an older core and they're probably going for it one more time for these guys like Doughty and Kopitar and even Dustin Brown. He's been there forever. And I remember watching him as a rookie and I really liked his game. He'll hit, fight, shoot, score, and he's just a tough kid. It's cool to see an American kid too.
I felt bad for him.
Took his C.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't agree with that either, but they wanted Kopi to be the leader and He was classy, and he didn't even complain about it.
Yeah,
he and that's what makes Brown even better.
Yeah, I really respected that from him. I felt bad for him about that, though.
Yeah, that's got to be tough to be the first captain to hoist the cup for the franchise, and it's like, hey, we're gonna give it to Kopi this year. Oh, okay.
Yeah, they were going on a bit of a skid, and
yeah, they thought he was gone. Yeah. They were trying to trade him. I remember his name was on the block, like at least. Yeah. Twice every year.
His production really went down, but he had a bit of a resurgence a couple years ago.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of him, but I hope that they make it because I don't mind them as a team.
I do.
We had some good battles, and there's respect from me. It was a great playoff series.
It still stings, man, 2014.
I just don't like Justin Williams because he was he was a big shit talker.
Yeah,
like,
he was.
I you could see him skating by the Hawks bench and talking shit.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, slow down, boys. I remember they made a big deal about that. And then Kaner ended up burying him with that awesome overtime.
Yeah. And then he did the sealer. And then he did the heartbreaker.
Boom. Yeah.
Love that, man. All right. Moving on to the Wild. The Wild are a team in transition. They bought out Zach Parise and Ryan Suter, you know, long term mainstays. Years ago, they brought them in, gave them these long contracts, and they were supposed to take this team to the promised land, and they never did. Parise had some injury issues years after, and Suter lived up to his to his contract. He played long minutes for a long time, was solid defensively, contributed offensively, played on the power play, played on the PK. You know, he was a great player. And I remember, you know, the Hawks, even when the Wild were bad, you know, that Ryan Suter was still a force to be reckoned with back there. They have a heck of a player in Kirill Kaprizov. The word is that he is not signing with CSKA Moscow, which was predicted. Me and Matt talked about it. We didn't see any benefit from him going to the KHL than staying in America, playing in the NHL. He's going to get a contract. They're working it out. So I would imagine that he wants shorter term, higher money. And they want to income to term because I think he knows that he's going to be good for a while and he's going to be due for a pay raise come in a few years because I believe in 4 years, the cap is going to go up by $10 million. So look for guys to be making deals around the 2 to 3 year range. Bridge deals, I think, are going to be in for the next 2 to 3 years because the cap's going up big time. And I think it's 4 to 5 year time frame right now, but it's going to rise.
It should be. Yep.
It's going to rise by 1 million up until that point. Then it's going to go up to, it's going to go up 10 million. So I think that Montreal they are rebuilding. They are in rebuild mode. They're a team that's looking for an identity, and Billy Guerin is looking to get it done. Where do you see the Wild at? I don't see them making the playoffs.
Yeah, this is tough. Well, their stud is not signed yet, and let's hope he doesn't get signed till December if you're a Hawks fan. But I think I would have kept Suter. Just because he's a very good defenseman. He plays 20 minutes a game at his age. He kind of, you know what? I can see Seth Jones he kind of reminds me a little bit of Ryan Suter, but I think he has a little bit more of an offense upside. You know what I mean? I think they both played with the Nashville system and they made him really good defensemen.
Yes.
But I think Suter would have been good on this team. Parise, yes, get rid of him because it's not working out. And when you were saying they've never lived up to it, that's because they ran into the Blackhawks almost every playoff.
They did.
And I don't see them making it. I do like Matt Dumba. I like Spurgeon as the captain. But I think if they let this Kaprizov thing go too long, that's going to be the main topic of their team.
Yeah.
And Billy Guerin used to be a player, and I think it's funny they mentioned this because he did a holdout too,
I think,
with Lou, with New Jersey. And he's kind of getting it back now on the other end. So I don't see them making it this year. I just think the Central, every team in the Central got better, and these guys kind of stay the same. If anything, maybe got a little worse letting Suter go, but yeah, I think they're just going to miss out.
Next, moving on to the Canadiens. Now, Carey Price was out of his mind. He played out of his mind. They beat Toronto, and everybody went nuts, and they just kept rolling and rolling and rolling on, man. I don't think that's going to happen again this year. I don't think that they're going to make it to the finals again. I don't see this this Cinderella team doing it again. Who do they have on their team?
Two players.
They got two guys on there. Hey, look, I'll give credit where credit is due. They shut down Toronto and their big guns. They did. It could either be A, from Marner and Matthews and company not playing well. I can't say the same about Nylander, because Nylander was practically their top point producer.
Yeah.
More so than in the regular season. So, you got to tip your hat to Nylander, but they pretty much shut him down, man. And that's how they rolled. They lost Philippe Deneau. And I don't see this team moving on. I don't think they will make the playoffs this year. Where are you at?
Yeah, I agree. They were that division, which I think I debated somebody on Twitter saying that it was the worst division in hockey. And
Twitter's
I stand
a
by
fun
that.
Place.
I stand by it. The Habs wouldn't make the playoffs in any other division. They weren't that good. They have two players, Cole Caulfield and Suzuki. Those are their only two bright stars that
yeah.
I thought they were both good. I like Brandon Gallagher. He was a warrior, man. He was doing anything he could to get a win. He's blocking shots. He's got blood all over his face. He's smiling. He loved it. It was like he was like built for playoff hockey. But Shea Weber, he's not coming back, I heard. He's done.
He's got a long list of injuries that are going to take. I don't even know what they are, because when I first read the report, they didn't list everything.
I think it's his whole body.
Yeah,
he gave it his all. I give him tons of credit.
He went in.
He went for it. He went for it. Even Corey Perry's gone. I thought Corey Perry was a key part of that team.
Yeah, I thought he was.
He scored some big goals. He's agitating guys.
Hitting guys.
Yeah, and he actually signed with Tampa, I think. I was laughing. This poor guy, he's been in the finals 2 years in a row and been on the losing team both sides. So what does that mean for Tampa? Is this going to be his Marian Hossa moment?
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
So, yeah. But as I totally agree with you, no playoffs this year. They are just, I think the injuries are going to catch up in losing Deneau, their best center, shutdown guy.
Yeah.
But I do enjoy Suzuki and Caulfield. I think they're going to be awesome
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Matt.
No, I think they're just going to be an awesome duo, kind of like a young Taves and Kane coming up. I think they're going to really, a couple years, I think they're going to be good again. But they got to rebuild. The core was getting old. It's time to move on.
The problem is Deneau is such a huge part of that team.
Yeah, you're right. And he was the main reason why they made it to the final. Him and Price were key, and the two young guns that were putting up some big numbers. But honestly, who else did anything? Occasionally you'll get a goal from somebody, but it was Suzuki. The guy was on fire.
Yeah, he was. He was playing phenomenal.
Yeah.
But no, I got him out. No playoffs for me.
Same. Yep.
So some quick NHL news. Owen Power, the number one draft pick from Buffalo, is going to return to the NCAA and play for Michigan for another year, which I think is a smart idea, because there's a lot of kids that are coming into the NHL and they're just not ready for it. Most notably, I would say Jack Hughes. He came in and he had a really, really hard time. And I think that these young kids, unless you're, of generational talent like Connor McGregor, Connor McDavid, man, I'm going to get a t-shirt. I'm going to make it. I want everybody
to put a tomahawk on his face.
Yeah. S.A. McGregor.
You've been tomahawked.
I'm sorry. I don't see like these young kids. They're coming in. They're trying to play with these men, and they're having a hard time making it in the league. And they need to get used to the grind of playing so many games, you know, and the grind of playing with these big players, you know, and playing so often. And then if you make the playoffs, the grind of the playoffs as well, you know. So I really support a lot of these young kids coming in and going back to the NCAA or juniors to get another year of seasoning. And then maybe a year of seasoning in the AHL to get it acclimated, and then you make your NHL debut. So, yeah, that's where I'm at with that.
Well, yeah, especially if you're a horrible team like Buffalo. They're going to expect you to be on the first line, and it could be too much for a kid.
Yeah, 100%.
You could be like, oh, man, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. Don't rush me. It kind of reminds me of Kirby Dach a little bit. I think we should have been patient with Kirby, but I think he could play. He could definitely play in the league.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, it wouldn't hurt.
Kirby played well, though. He wasn't scoring very much his first year, but he was putting the body to guys. He looked like he was able to play. He wasn't getting really, you know, manhandled very, very often, you know, and he was holding his own, man. I thought that he played pretty well in his first season. I thought it could have been much worse. Svechnikov from Carolina signed an 8-year, $62 million deal. So he got paid. Really curious, man. You know,
Dougie money.
Yeah, he got good money. And I'm really surprised that Dougie Hamilton couldn't work out a deal with Carolina. I wonder what it was.
Dude, he wanted to win a cup.
Oh, yeah, they're right. 100%.
He wanted to win a cup with New Jersey.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone does. It's the place to go.
Drew won't sign a contract during the season. I wonder what they're going to do with him, man. He's definitely heading into the twilight of his career. Definitely still a very strong leader for Philadelphia.
They're tough on him there. I mean, they are. It's not his fault. He's a great player.
Yeah.
Didn't he have like 100 points a couple of years ago? It's not him at all. You got to get the guy solid line mates, and they've had goaltending issues for a while.
Forever.
Yeah, if you can't keep the puck out of the net, you're not going to win the game. Doesn't matter who's on your team.
What do you think about Dubnyk? Do you think that Edmonton should maybe sign Dubnyk?
They had him years ago. He started in Edmonton.
Really?
I thought he was a rookie. Yeah, he started there, man.
I thought Dubnyk played for Minnesota.
No, he started in Edmonton. He went to Arizona. He went over to Minnesota. He's been bouncing all over.
Wow.
His best years were Minnesota. Obviously with the Wild. I think he had like 20 straight starts, 20 wins or something.
Yeah, he was on a
tear.
Then
he ran into the Blackhawks.
Yeah.
Brought him back down to earth.
All right. So, everybody, this is part two. We've got two more coming where we're going to do the rest of the league. We got half of the league over with. Do us a favor, hit subscribe if you haven't, so you don't miss out on future episodes. Follow us on Twitter, give us a follow, and we'll comment with you. We'll talk with you. We love talking to everybody in the comment section. We love engaging with everybody. It's fun to talk hockey. These are the dog days of summer. And like Matt said, call us out if you don't like what we have to say. We'll talk about your team.
Yeah, we'll debate. It's fun.
Yeah.
Hopefully you're a Toronto fan when we get there. It'll be really fun.
Yeah, it'll be really fun. This is the Tomahawk. We're out of here.